Testing 1, 2, 3.
EY is launching a series of podcasts on the buzzword today, generative AI. Hello, everybody. I am Divyesh Lapsewala, tax partner at EY. It's my pleasure to host you today. EY is launching a series of podcasts on the buzzword today, generative AI. And as a tax partner, we want to focus on what does it mean for tax. We all know the amount of traction generative AI is building today. We all know that there is a lot of conversations of large language models, of a transformational impact that this technology can bring to our lives. Yes, we read about many use cases, as they are called, in practical daily life. But are they also meaningful for tax? We have to unravel that. And that's the reason why we are here today. So in the first series, I'm going to talk with our digital tax leader, Rahul, who also has been focusing on generative AI for the last 1 year. And he loves this topic. So great to have you here, Rahul.
Thanks, Divyesh. Absolutely fun and looking forward to spending time on this webcast, and thanks to all the listeners and viewers for joining.
Lovely. So what we want to do today is let's peel the onion. Let's understand how generative AI can be connected to tax. What is really the hype? What is the mystery? And what is the future looking like? Yes, we are all stargazing today, but that's the way the technology works. So let's begin first by understanding where we are. And Rahul, that opens my first question to you. Mm-hmm. Please tell me, how is generative AI, in very simple terms, different from all the software and technology that we've been traditionally using?
Yeah, so Divyesh, generative AI is actually fundamentally different from everything else that we have seen in technology, particularly in tax. What we all have seen and used so far is very complex coding, complex forms. Often tax professionals do not understand what's going behind the scenes, and they almost every time need a tech professional or an IT professional to come in and help. Now come GenAI, it is actually reversing this. It is democratizing knowledge of technology and coding. So far, we used to tell our younger professional kids that learn coding, it'll help you in life, right? But with GenAI is actually the reverse. All you need to know and master generative AI is common sense in English. That's it. With that, you Lovely. Can be a great prompt engineer and get excellent outcomes for you.
That's fantastic, Rahul. Thanks. I think that's a good opener for us. So now that you've created this excitement for us, tell me really, what are the use cases that you are working on?
Okay, so this is the most fun part, Divyesh. Tax AI or AI in tax. When people ask me what are the use cases, my simple answer is wherever there is human, there is a use case for AI. It's
oh, brilliant.
As simple as that, right? You don't have to think beyond that. You have to just apply a lens that are you doing something which you don't like, and then think whether AI can do it for you. Right. So let's talk a little bit specific. Now, as tax professionals, what do we do? Broadly, we do three things. We deal with data, clients, or whether it's our internal functions.
True.
They give us data. We advise, whether it is advising clients or advising our internal stakeholders, we advise. And then lastly, we defend our positions. So it's litigation. Now, you take each of these three areas, there are many, many use cases which AI can help and make lives of people better, improve productivity, and most importantly, improve quality of the work. That's the part which I think is a lot more exciting than everything else, is improving work quality. Let me give you an example around data. As accountants, as tax professionals, we deal with general ledgers. We deal with loaded Excel sheets, and we are often asked to review these. Find out exceptions. Now, we've worked on use cases where you can straight away go and ask a question to an Excel sheet to tell that if this attribute is present, or if this line item is present, or this non-deductible or non-creditable item is present, it's just absolutely amazing how the speed and accuracy with which this job can be done. So far, this whole concept of, you know, test checking or just doing sampling, I think that can just completely go away. You bring in AI and you can do 100% validation of data. Invoices, agreements, you know, sometimes they comes in box wise, and I remember in good old days in trucks, right? But how do you deal all of that? AI can do that like literally in matter of minutes and much better than what a human would do. So that's AI for you.
Oh, that is really nice. But you gave us a good example for data, and I think as a tax professional, I can really relate to that problem. Help me understand a little bit more about the other two pieces you spoke about, which is research and litigate.
Right. So this is, I think it gets even more interesting. This is actually for the first time we have been handed over a tool or a toy. I don't know which one yet, but which can really start behaving and thinking like a tax professional. For the very first time, something which has cognitive abilities to think like an accountant or a lawyer. So it's up to us how we use it. Again, if you have to look at few examples, let's say you are given a 500 pager agreement for review. Now you have to look for tax clauses. You have to look for things which may have an impact from a commercial standpoint or a tax standpoint. A traditional way would have been to take up and go through or do a control F and things like that. But you can never be sure about those ways of working, right? Unless you put days and days into it.
My fears.
Absolutely. So this whole data discovery or the discovery part, which is integral to any research that you do, AI can help. Coming to reading orders, court orders, you know, you're doing research, you have 50 judgments to refer to. Now, AI can simply go through 50 judgments and really tell you that, hey, I think the facts that you're looking for or the legal principles that you're looking for are present only in this 5 out of 50.
Okay.
So you don't have to really go through 50 judgments now, but really focus your efforts on doing high quality research only on these 5 items.
Wow.
So all of these are very, very exciting ways of how you can use AI in whether in research or in defending litigation type of things.
That is fascinating, fascinating. But then, one thing that worries me is that are we understanding it well, or are we not understanding it well in terms of the capability and the power? Are we building misconceptions around it? And what's your view on that?
Well, I think it's a great point, Devesh. While there is immense promise, there is immense potential, but we must understand that this is still an ancient technology. And especially in field like tax or interpretation of law or dealing with numbers, especially which have to be filed with tax authorities, right? You have to have human in loop. I don't think we are at a point where we can simply rely on machine generated outcomes and go ahead and submit. We have to almost treat this as a co-pilot or a digital assistant, which can do a lot of those things for you, which you don't like, or you wish you had a magic wand. But at the end of the day, you need a human in loop who can come in and really validate what is happening and then take on from there, take the final decision and make the filing or make the judgment call. So to that extent, it's a great assistant and a great pilot or a co-pilot, but not an autopilot. Let's not mistake this to be an autopilot.
I think that's a very important point you make, Rahul. The human in the loop. I love that phrase, human in the loop. Tell me more about this. Does it mean my job is secure? And on a more serious note, how do you see the role of individuals or professionals evolving along with this technology?
Yeah, so Devesh, I think long-term view is very hard to predict for anyone, where we will be in 7, 8, 10 years from now. But if I were to, and before that, I think the other thing which will really shape the agenda of professionals and tax professionals in specific will be government policy. I think, and as we know, especially in India, government is really in a digital overdrive. They have done some fantastic projects and outcomes with use of technology. and it is very, very likely that government will use advanced AI such as generative AI and many other things in their ways of working. So to come back to the point, it's going to be two things: how technology evolves and how fast it evolves, and second, the policy side of it, how government adapts some of these things and in turn force taxpayers also to adapt it. Having said that, some things I think will happen for sure. Very soon, I think all of us will carry digital assistants, some sort of tax assistants with us. When we will talk about budgeting, when we will talk about manpower planning in future, we will be talking of both human assistants, human manpower, as well as digital manpower.
Interesting.
This is how it's going to shape in my view. Imagine if there is a court hearing which is going on, or you are sitting before your authority arguing your case, and you have a digital assistant going on your iPad or on a phone, which is listening live what is happening and just telling you, okay, who you can do this, take this argument, rely on this case,
wow.
Right? We saw some of the newer models which were launched just very, very recently, and their capability to listen live and give inputs live is just taking it to the next level. Imagine you can connect that technology with tax knowledge.
Wow.
And so on the fly, you can do many things. I think the future is a bit unknown, but certainly very, very exciting. And to your point, whether jobs are secure, well, I think the place and time where we are in India, I don't think we need to worry about jobs. The only thing I would say is AI will not take jobs away. But we have to be careful about people who know AI.
I like that. So you seem to be just very, very excited and gung-ho about this. So what's your summary view on generative AI?
Well, what really excites me on generative AI is what it can do to transform people's lives. Specifically, when I talk to professionals, if you see, one common problem everyone has is time. You know, 8 out of 10 people, whether it is in consulting, in industry, clients across, when I talk to them, they say, we have too many things going on. We just don't have time. AI is this almost a magic wand which has been handed over to us. It can really solve a lot of your day-to-day issues, your team's problems, if you spend time, you take effort to understand it, make sure your teams are also understanding and you're adapting it fast. So one big change to my mind it can bring, and it can be really a blessing, is just make your lives better. So let's hope that it all turns out the way we want, and we can have the same conversation 10 years from now and both of us are around.
Lovely, lovely. So thank you all for being with us. I think this was a good fireside chat. I have learned a lot today. I have learned, most importantly, that it is a co-pilot and not an autopilot. But I think if you look at it deep down, this is transformational. In my 20 years of work, I've seen many tax changes. I've seen many process changes. But I have personally not seen anything as tectonic as this. This is here to stay. It is going to impact. But as Rahul told us, it is an enabler. And therefore, how do we use our digital assistants in the future? How do we transform our lives? How do we make ourselves more efficient, our teams more efficient, our processes more efficient, our organization more efficient? And how do we start using its predictive capability is an exciting path for all of us. So the takeaway is very clear. Get generative AI ready for yourself. Thank you for being with us. This is the first podcast. You will hear a lot more from us. And so please hang on and stay connected to us. Thank you.